Good evening. It is time for the Prime Evening News for today, Monday, April 15th, 2024.
Global.
I am Richie Farrell. In the headlines, Concerned Citizens Movement Treasurer John Blanchard calls on Dominicans to take urgent action to avoid the country experiencing economic collapse under existing intense economic pressures. The Finance Department of St. Lucia's Debt and Investment Unit announced a new Public Debt Management Act 2023 to ensure sound fiscal management and sustainable economic growth. And U.S. scientists monitoring coral around the world says it is turning white and even dying as recent record ocean heat takes a devastating toll and a fourth global mass stress episode is underway. The news is brought to you with the very kind compliments of Archipelago Trading, agents of Beacon Insurance. We'll be right back.
Top of the hour news.
After some words from our sponsor.
It happens wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on Q.
You get to a certain age, different things drive you. Like the anticipation of a new adventure. The comfort of having friends who become family, or just enjoying that journey to the next destination. At Beacon, we've given our 50-plus drivers more value and greater convenience with hassle-free sign-up, affordable fixed rates, and free benefits. Call Archipelago Trading at 448-5247 or log on to beacondominica.com for a quote today. And let us help you keep doing what drives you.
Welcome back. Here's what's making news. Concerned Citizens Movement Treasurer John Blanchard has issued a call to action for the citizens of Dominica, urging them to take steps to prevent the country from experiencing economic collapse. Blanchard emphasized that economic collapse can occur when a nation's economy faces significant pressure, such as during a prolonged recession, which can severely impede economic activity and hinder citizens' ability to improve their livelihoods. He highlighted unemployment as a key indicator of impending economic collapse.
Citizens must do the work so we can avoid citizens must work to avert, you know, the economic collapse. In other words, the citizens must do what it takes to avoid or at a minimum reduce the impact of an economic collapse. An economy crashing, or it's also called economic meltdown. Now, just for that, you get an understanding of what we're talking about, economic collapse and meltdown and crashing and so on. You know? And economic collapse really occurs at the onset of a severe version of an economic contraction. You know, where the economy actually contracts, or an economic depression or recession. And that can last for a long time, sometimes a year, 2 years, a number of years, depending on the severity of the circumstances. Right, but someone might ask the question, when do you know that the economy is collapsing? And that's a reasonable question to ask. Well, one of the signs is that of worsening unemployment rates. Okay, unemployment rates, increasing unemployment is usually a common sign of an impending economic depression.
Blanchard also noted that the high unemployment rate among youth in Dominica would lead to a decline in purchasing power among consumers, consequently reducing demand. This in turn would exacerbate the issue of unemployment within the country even further.
Now, with high jobless numbers, consumers will lose their purchasing power and eventually lower demand. So you have no job, no money, therefore you cannot purchase. Obviously, the demand will be lower. Okay? Now, have we seen that happening in Dominica, where persons are losing their job, unemployment levels are increasing? The answer is yes, it is clearly yes. Because we have seen a number of businesses closing down. A number of businesses closing down. So that's what will happen. When businesses close down, people are jobless, you will have an increase in the poverty rates. Okay? Because people have no work. So one link into the other. You also have a situation where crime, there's an increase in crime rates. because of unemployment.
CCM Treasurer John Blanchard. Latin America and the Caribbean find themselves at a pivotal moment as economic growth stagnates, posing significant challenges to the region's development. The World Bank's latest report, titled Competition, the Missing Ingredient for Growth, underscores the urgency for decisive measures to reverse the downward trend. According to the report, LAC, that is Latin America and the Caribbean, is forecasted to experience a modest GDP expansion of 1.6% in 2024, with growth rates of 2.7% and 2.6% projected for 2025 and 2026, respectively. These rates, the lowest among all global regions, are deemed insufficient to drive prosperity. Declining social transfers and stagnant wages further exacerbate the economic strain on many households. World Bank Vice President for Latin America and the Caribbean, Carlos Felipe Jaramillo, emphasized the profound consequences of persistent low growth, stating that it impedes development by limiting public services, job opportunities, and exacerbating poverty and inequality. Factors contributing to the sluggish growth include low investment levels, subdued domestic consumption, high interest rates, fiscal deficits, declining commodity prices, and uncertainties regarding major trading partners such as the United States, China, Europe, and other G7 countries. Additionally, potential global disruptions such as geopolitical tensions and shipping disruptions could further dampen economic prospects. Despite the challenges, the region has managed inflation effectively, boasting a regional rate of 3.5%, that's excluding Argentina and Venezuela, compared to 5.7% in OECD countries. Tourism Minister Denise Charles Pemberton announced an investment of $669,000 dedicated to improving Kalinago territory and several other community attraction sites across the island. She says this announcement marks a significant step in the Ministry of Tourism's ongoing efforts to revitalize and expand the tourism sector. In her statement, Minister Charles Pemberton said, "This initiative reflects the government's commitment to harnessing tourism as a catalyst for economic growth while ensuring that local communities benefit directly from the industry."
The Ministry of Tourism is on a journey to enhance the Kalinago territory and other notable community tourism attractions, collectively amounting to a total investment of $669,030. Our mission extends beyond merely boosting tourism numbers. It's a commitment to fostering sustainable development, preserving cultural heritage, and building resilient communities. On Friday, April 5th, we signed two significant contracts totaling $90,934. The rehabilitation and enhancement of L'Escale Tetchier and the Kalinago Barana Ote waterfall site upgrade. These sites are special treasures of the Kalinago people and will improve the accessibility, safety, and overall enjoyment for visitors.
Charles Pemberton added that the ministry is making progress on several other projects slated for completion by the end of the current fiscal year, including attractions like the Trafalgar Falls and Emerald Pool, among numerous other sites scattered throughout Dominica.
Alongside these significant projects, our team is advancing other projects targeted for completion by the end of this fiscal year. These projects include rehabilitating the access steps at Trafalgar Falls, upgrading the washroom facilities at Emerald Pool, completion of the Kana Heritage Park restaurant, completion of the Caribantic building in Scottshead, upgrading the electricity supply at Titu Gorge, and implementing the Indian River lighting project to extend the hours during which guests can enjoy boat tours. With the completion of these projects, I am optimistic and enthusiastic about improving the guest experience in Dominica. The government of Dominica remains steadfast in its dedication to preserving the natural beauty and rich cultural heritage that will make Dominica a world-class sustainable tourism destination.
And that was Minister of Tourism, Mrs. Denise Charles Pemberton. You're tuned in with Q95 News. Some residents of the Soufriere constituency came out to protest against the request from the lawyers representing murder accused Jonathan Lehrer, who has been charged with the murder of a Canadian couple, Mr. Langua and his companion Marchand, along with the alleged hitman Robert Snyder, who is a U.S. national. Lehrer and his wife run the chocolate maker estate Bois Colette Inc., which is located near to Langua's Colibri Ridge Resort. According to investigators, Langua and Marchand were ambushed by a hitman who killed them and then set their car on fire. The entrepreneur was allegedly assassinated over a Mont Rouge public road dispute with Mr. Lehrer. Jonathan Lehrer and Snyder were due to have appeared in the Roseau Magistrate Court today to make a request for bail as well as enhanced access to a medical facility for specialized treatment. However, they were represented by their attorneys. According to the St. Vincent Times, the Daniel Langua Foundation stated on Monday that Langua and Marchand died under sad circumstances. Speaking to Q95 News on Monday, Soufriere villagers categorically expressed that they did not want Mr. Lehrer to receive bail, as they claim Mr. Lehrer is a danger to the residents of the Soufriere district.
I am from the district of Soufriere, and knowing that Jonathan asked for bail, and we decide we want no bail for Jonathan. Because why? If Jonathan is out, the Soufriere district life is in risk. And we want no bail at all for Jonathan. No bail at all. The workers up at Petit Colibri will not be able to go to work. Though already some workers are not working because of the chaos that happened in Soufriere. And we are very, very sad right now. And we are now saying we want no bail for Jonathan. We want justice! 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 Justice is right! Daniel and Dominic, we want justice!
That's all I have to say.
You're tuned in with Q95 News. The results from the LQ Classic Junior Table Tennis Tournament in Grenada are very encouraging. Four of the five participants who represented Dominica received medals. There were 83 participants from Grenada, St. Vincent, Barbados, and Dominica. The DTTA believes this tournament brought out the best in our players, and their hard work showed in their competitive play. In the boys under 18, Tyron Joseph put out a good fight but was knocked out in the quarterfinals. The boys under 15, third place went to Jari Prince. And the boys under 13, third place went to Dejon Frank. In the girls under 13 category, second place was copped by Elise Charles. For the girls under 15, third place went to Daniqua Harriet. The Dominica Table Tennis Association would like to thank all those who assisted to make this tournament a success. The Dominica Table Tennis Association congratulates participants. And for more information on the event and the Dominica Table Tennis Association, persons can in fact contact the association at 1-765-235-0573, or you can call 1-767-614-0119.
In the LQ Classic Junior Table Tennis Tournament held in Grenada, Dominica sent a contingent of two females, Elise Charles and Daniqua Harriet, three males, Dejon Frank, Jari Prince, and Tyron Joseph, and coached by Miss Melissa Alfred. The Dominica Table Tennis Association is proud to announce that in the girls under 13, Elise Charles placed second. In the girls under 15, Daniqua Harriet placed third. In the boys under 13, Dejon Frank placed third. In the boys under 15, Jari Prince placed third. And in the boys under 2019, Tyrone Joseph put up a good fight, but he was eliminated in the quarterfinal. The Dominica Table Tennis Association is very satisfied with the youngsters. I mean, last year we sent up 6 kids and only 1 medal. This year we sent up 5 and 4 medals. That's 80% of the players medaling. So, I mean, it's an improvement from last year. It says that table tennis is getting better in Dominica. So it's just, let's keep working. Let's keep concentrating on the youth. Let's build table tennis in Dominica. Hats off to coach Miss Melissa Alfred.
DOASCO claims its water sector strategic development plan has been redesigned due to cost constraints. The plan was originally designed to allow for the complete construction of 6 modernized water systems in Dominica. However, General Manager of DOASCO, Mr. Bernard Etinoff, reveals that the project plan has been reviewed to cover the cost for 4 water systems in the first instance. Upon completion, the modernized amendments made to the water grid will greatly enhance supply, testing, and conservation of water sources on the island, says Mr. Etinoff. A consultant is now being engaged to oversee the implementation phase of the 4 selected water systems. They are Calabishi, Castle Bruce, Kulibistri, that's the Kulibistri Salisbury system, and the Grand Four Monjon River Siric system. Bernard Etinoff says work is expected to commence in the latter part of 2024.
We, as you may be aware, we had the water sector strategy development plan that should be nearing completion now, but because of the cost of the bid that we received, we were not able to begin that process at the time that we had to. We had to go back to the drawing board, redesign the projects. We were trying to improve 6 major water systems. We had to scale down now to 4 because of the cost of those systems, the works to be done on those systems. And so we are now seeking to engage a consultant who will oversee the actual construction works, implementation of the physical works, to improve those systems. The systems you speak of here are Calabishi, Casibus, Grand Four Monjon River Siric as one system, and the Kulibistri, Grand Savan Salisbury system. So we are hoping that later this year, probably second half of this year, we could actually see construction works beginning on those systems. We have received the approval of the Caribbean Development Bank to invite quotations or seek quotations for the supply of materials, pipes and fittings that we need. Yeah. And so we have that RFQ out there, and hopefully we should receive those within another month or so, and we would be well on our way.
General Manager of DOASCO, Mr. Bernard Etinoff, he spoke to Q95 News recently. IRENA acknowledges the crucial role of consensus in advancing Paris Agreement objectives. Ambitious targets like tripling renewable energy and doubling energy efficiency by 2030 highlight the necessity of youth involvement for a just energy transition. With half the world's population under 30, young people hold immense potential to drive the adoption of renewable energy. IRENA is dedicated to integrating youth perspectives into decision-making processes through customized initiatives. Youth Delegate and Ambassador from Dominica, Ferdinand Valmont, is participating in this year's IRENA Youth Forum and underscores its significance as a platform for intergenerational dialogue and global youth empowerment. He says the forum is being held under the theme Youth at the Core of a Just Energy Transition, Skills, Empowerment, and Innovation, and will discuss topics such as skills development, youth empowerment in energy agendas, and fostering youth-led innovation in sustainability. The delegate anticipates a successful forum empowering youth worldwide.
Ferdinand Valmont, Youth Delegate and Youth Ambassador representing Dominica at the 14th session of the IRENA Assembly as well as the 2024 IRENA Youth Forum. This year, the forum will surround the theme of the new generation of decision makers, youth at the core of a just energy transition, skills, empowerment, and innovation. And of course, the forum will serve as a platform facilitating intergenerational dialogue between youth, high-level officials, and stakeholder representatives, with the aim of boosting the capacity of young individuals, fostering the advancement of youth-led innovation, and amplifying their voices on the global stage. And as you can tell by the theme of this year's conference, it was developed surrounding young people's involvement in tripling renewables by 2030. And of course, we continue to see a lot of young persons being involved in these decision-making processes as it relates to sustainable development and achieving the Sustainable Development Goals 2030 agenda. And of course, the objectives of the entire conference this week for the couple days coming ahead would be skills for a just energy transition, empowering new voices in energy agenda, and fostering youth-led innovation in sustainability.
And that was Ferdison Valmond, Dominica's youth delegate and ambassador at the 14th IRENA Youth Forum. The Debt and Investment Unit in the Department of Finance announced the enactment of the new Public Debt Management Act 2023. The commencement of the Public Debt Management Act represents a significant step forward to ensure sound fiscal management and sustainable economic growth. This landmark legislation reaffirms the government's commitment to responsible debt management practices and will contribute to the overall resilience of St. Lucia's economy. In other news, coral around the world is turning white and even dying as recent record ocean heat takes a devastating toll. It has triggered the fourth global mass coral bleaching event, according to the United States National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Bleaching happens when coral gets stressed and turns white because the water it lives in is just too hot. Coral sustains ocean life, fishing, and creates trillions of dollars of revenue annually.
Coral bleaching is occurring in deeper waters, according to Luis Rocha with the Californian Academy of Sciences. Rocha recently completed a dive to mesophotic levels, around 328 to 492 feet underwater, in the Coral Sea and Australia's Great Barrier Reef.
This different salinity, different temperature water sits on the top. That's the one that is most influenced by the sun. But the bottom layers of the ocean, even though they're colder, they are also warming, same way that the top layer is. It would be like maybe if I studied birds and I went to the rainforest and I saw the rainforest being taken down.
Despite its extensive protection, Rocha said the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park is dying because of uncontrollable factors.
When I see it happening in a place like that, it is what stuns me the most. It's that there's very little we can do about it as individuals.
The last global mass coral bleaching event saw the Great Barrier Reef lose nearly a third of its corals from 2014 to 2017. This year appears to be following a similar trend, with reports of extensive bleaching across the Caribbean and the entirety of the Great Barrier Reef.
If the bleaching continues the way it is, 50 years from now, so right now we're facing like a big decline in populations. 50 years from now, we might be facing extinction.
That's the Prime Evening News. Here's a recap of our headlines. Concerned Citizens Movement Treasurer John Blanchard calls on Dominicans to take urgent action to avoid the country experiencing economic collapse
wherever it
under existing intense economic pressures.
Only
the Finance Department of St. Lucia's Debt and Investment Unit announced a new Public Debt Management Act 2023 to ensure sound fiscal management and sustainable economic growth. And U.S. scientists monitoring coral around the world, they say it is turning white and even dying as recent record ocean heat takes a devastating toll and a fourth global mass stress episode is underway.
Happens.
The news brought to you with the very kind compliments of Archipelago Trading,
Five.
Agents of Beacon Insurance,
U95D.
I've been your presenter, Richie Farrell.
Top of the hour news, as it happens, when it happens.